Anybody good at making excuses for things? Oh, good. Some people shouldn't raise other people's hands, but I got that. You're just helping.
I got it.
I think in general, we humans are pretty good at making excuses for things. In fact, I did a little research this week and I read an article about it. You guys want to hear some things I learned? Good, you're a captive audience. You're not going anywhere anyway. So I read this article. It was written in 2020 by the New York Post, and it had some interesting information on excuses, Americans and their excuses, and I just wanted to share some of it with you today because I laughed out loud at some of these things and felt a little called out, if I had to be honest. They took a poll of 2,000 Americans, and the average American makes 6 excuses a day. Okay, is anybody else surprised by that? Like I was. 6 a day? That equates to about 6,000 excuses a year we make. Well, it didn't say if they were different ones. I guess we could always make the same excuse. But nonetheless, we excuse ourselves and make excuses for not doing something 6,000 times a year. Seemed like a lot. I really laughed when we got into the top excuses that we used. The number one excuse for not doing things that we probably should do is, I'm too tired. Oh, everybody groans. The second one is, I don't have enough money. And the third one is, I don't have enough time. Energy, resources, and time. Sounds about right. Yeah. Then it got really good when I found out why we make excuses the most. We make excuses, 40% of our excuses that we make are to excuse that we bought something that we do not need. Oh, hello. Look at my Amazon list, and that I felt called out on. Okay. 36% of our excuses are made as an excuse for binge-watching television. Oh, 34% of our excuses are used for not cleaning once a month. Housework, I've got plenty of excuses not to do that. And then there was a tie for 4th, 5th, and 6th place. There are 33% of the time we use the excuses to avoid exercise, eat healthy, and running errands. Ugh, I hate grocery shopping. Pretty funny, right? We're pretty good at making up excuses for coming up with reasons or justifications, defending our actions. That's what an excuse is, by the way. Justifying it, defending our actions. For not doing things that we know that we should do and we need to get things done. And we do it probably more than we really realize. I've been trying to keep track of my excuses in my head over the past week since I read this article and laughed. Aren't we fun? God has got to laugh at us a lot. Aren't we fun? He's got to be shaking his head at us most days, like eye rolling from the heavens. But he still loves us, and that's what's so cool about God. You're like, what in the world does this have to do with anything? I'll do my errands now, Pastor Jamie. Well, we as followers of Jesus are asked to live in a certain way. We're supposed to do things like love God, love others, serve others, show grace and mercy to others, forgive others, live peacefully, live joyfully, live respectfully, live holy lives. I mean, the list goes on, right? You guys see where I'm going, right? A big, long list of things that we are called to do as we're sitting in here in this church this morning saying that we are followers of Jesus. We're called to live differently, to a higher standard, how Jesus would want us to live. And we're talking about that right now in Lent, right? And Jesus wants no excuses. There's no excuses. Living like Jesus is called discipleship. That's a churchy word. But it's a churchy word that means that we're supposed to learn to be like Jesus. We learn about Jesus, and then we apply it to our life and live like him. Discipleship is the process of becoming more like Jesus, Today we're going to read scripture out of Luke 9, 57 through 62, just five little verses here. But we're going to see three individuals who were possible disciples, kind of said they wanted to be, but they had excuses. And I mean, scripture doesn't say, but I'm going to say they probably didn't end up being disciples of Jesus, which is pretty sad. But in the scripture, we're going to focus on three people, what their excuses was, and maybe, it's going to apply to your life and kind of open your eyes to something that we need to do in our life and changing our behaviors to not make excuses and to live that life that Jesus wants us to live. With no excuses, just live it the way he wants us to. So let's read this together. Luke 9, 57 through 62. I forgot my glasses, so this could be good. All right, 57 starts like this. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." There's the one. Two. He said to another man, Jesus did, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Second one. And here's the third one. Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Three, different individuals with different excuses that we're going to pick apart here, and I think you're going to see that it kind of applies to us sometimes. Okay, the first one, the first guy, his excuse is, oh man, he didn't want to give up his comfort. He was comfortable. And this seems kind of harsh and standoffish of Jesus. I mean, the guy came up to him and said, "Oh my goodness, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go." It seems like this guy was genuine to me. Like, hey, he's all right, he's got this. But Jesus comes back in his response, and he knew this gentleman's heart. He knew this potential disciple's heart. And he talks right to his heart. And he knew what was going to hold him back from being a true disciple. And that was his comfort, right? Because Jesus quickly addressed that and said, "Look, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." The man made this commitment kind of in haste without realizing, yeah, that's going to be hard. But he was quickly reminded by Jesus what the cost of for being a disciple. And that was sometimes giving up comforts. Yeah. True discipleship and following Jesus could mean hardship, being uncomfortable, persecution, poverty. It could mean that. I'm not saying that that's always the case, okay? But what I'm saying is Jesus is asking that if we follow him, we need to understand that that could be a possibility. To be a disciple means that we have to sacrifice some of those comforts of our life and that we have a willing heart to do that. This gentleman, obviously, this potential disciple, as I'm calling him, didn't have that in his heart, and Jesus spoke right to it. Jesus is asking that we understand the sacrifice and that we are willingly and joyfully able to say, yeah, I'll do that, even if, Jesus, even if I get it. Am I telling you today to go ahead and just give all away all your nice things and the comforts and the things that you enjoy in life? No, I'm not saying that, okay? So you can breathe a sigh of relief. Well, I guess I am saying to do that if that's what God's telling you to do. But if God's not telling you to do that, that's not at all what I'm saying. But what Jesus, and Jesus isn't saying that either. Jesus is telling us, he's asking us this, when push comes to shove, are we willing to relinquish control of our personal resources if he asks us to do so? Because being a disciple of Jesus, he may ask us to do that, and we have to have faith and trust in him that he's going to provide for us, and we just do what he says. And it might be uncomfortable. Some of those things that we like, we might have to give up if Jesus asks us to. That's the sacrifice of living as a disciple of Jesus. How tight of a grip do you hold on to your bank accounts? How comfortable is your standard of living? Do you seek opportunities each day to give generously and serve other people? Jesus wants no excuses in this area, in our comfort, to follow him and serve. No excuses, please. Think about the comforts in your life, things that you really like. Would you give them up for Jesus? Or do you make excuses not to? Person number two, potential disciple number two. His excuse is his priorities in life. This guy, the second gentleman, seems, again, very reasonable here what he is asking to do. Jesus said to him, "Follow me," and the man said, "First, let me go and bury my father." But Jesus responds, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." This seems reasonable. Am I correct? This seems totally reasonable. Jesus comes across as like kind of harsh here too. This guy needed to take care of burying his father. How could Jesus tell him not to do that? That makes no sense. That doesn't sound like my Jesus. Aren't we supposed to love, serve, protect, provide, and help our families? Yeah, of course we are. Of course we are. Jesus isn't saying not to do this. And especially because my in-laws are here, I want to make sure they understand. I'm on board with family and taking care of family, right? It's perfect timing. Thank you. I got a thumbs up from my mother-in-law. Jesus isn't saying to skirt our obligations with our family. But what he is saying is, if our family becomes an idol in our hearts, and that loving our family draws us away from loving God, first and foremost, we must address our priorities. God must always come first in our life. God must come before spouses. Sorry, Tosh. She knows that she's second place. God must come before children, nieces, nephews, grandparents, all that stuff. God first. Family to this potential disciple, when you start picking this apart, was more important than Jesus and following Jesus. His excuse was something, my family's more important. I've got to go take care of this. My priority is my family. I need to go take care of my father. I think it's also interesting to note in this that we don't know anything about the father. We don't know if the father's passing or the father could be in perfect health, and it could be years before that happens. So he could be skirting his obligations using this excuse of family. Also, the father could be passing and he wants to go back for his inheritance. There's another excuse, right? We don't know exactly what's going on with this man's motives when you think about it in a couple other ways. But either way, what Jesus is saying here is we need to make sure our priorities are correct and in line. Jesus is not condemning our family responsibilities and commitments. I want to make sure you guys understand that. But rather, he is challenging our priorities. If we allow anyone or anything to come before our commitment to serve and love God, that's an issue. That's an excuse. We must realize that nothing can come before God. Even family, even your spouse. So, with the second person, potential disciple, think about that in your life. Would you put Jesus at the top of your priority list always? Or do you have excuses in that realm? Think about your priorities. Then the last one. I title this The Excuse of Influence. I'll tell you why. Because the last disciple, once again, seems reasonable to me. Hey, I just want to go say goodbye to everybody. This seems totally reasonable. Once again, Jesus knows what's going on behind the scenes of the hearts of this heart of this person, and he spoke to it. Jesus knew that this person, if he goes back with a chance to say goodbye, he could be influenced by those people and not make the commitment that he needed to make to be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus knew he would be drawn by his family, friends, whoever he was going to run into, and he wasn't going to be strong enough to leave them. So that excuse takes him away from Jesus and his discipleship. What seems even more apparent is Jesus knows the more time this man has to reconsider his decision, the more likely he's going to abandon that decision. Anybody else ever do that? I'm going to think about this for a while, and then you change your mind. You don't do it. Either good or bad, sometimes that is a good thing. In this case, Jesus knew if he went back, he would be influenced by somebody somewhere because he was easily influenced. And he would probably abandon any potential discipleship altogether. That's why Jesus said, when you read the scripture here, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one puts his hand to the plow and looks back. I've not plowed a field. I know someone that has millions of acres. He's plowed fields. But I have mowed before. And I got to thinking, I have driven before. And if you're driving and you're looking back, what's going to happen? An accident, right? Probably. If I'm mowing out in the back 40 here and I'm looking back, my line is not straight and who knows where I am. I could be running into the fence. We're getting the lawnmower stuck in mud. Who knows? The point is, it's impossible to plow a straight line, drive, mow, whatever it is, while looking backwards. We have to be looking forward. We can't be looking back or going back to say, I got to go back and say goodbye. No, no, no. You just go. When Jesus says it, do it. Don't be influenced by something that's in your past or that's behind you. Focus and go forward. If we go look back, we're going to be tempted to compromise our commitment to Jesus. Especially if those that we're looking back to aren't Jesus people. And they're going to influence us in a negative way. We have to trust. We must just keep looking forward. Looking at God. Eyes on God. All eyes on you, God. So the question on this particular disciple for you today is, does Jesus influence you the most? Who influences you? Or do you have excuses as to why Jesus is the last person you ask and you'll run into everybody else first? These scriptures I've often struggled with because I feel like Jesus comes across really harsh. I'm really super glad. God does. He just plops certain things into my head and then I start digging in and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I got some clarity on these things. Are you guys glad you got clarity on these? Because sometimes when I read scripture like this and I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense, you can tend to just skirt over, like you just go over it like, okay, I'm just going to put that over here and I'm going to focus on other things that I know about Jesus. But there's some really, really good messages in this scripture once you really start digging into it. It doesn't seem when you first read it that he wants us to have comforts or deal with our families or have friends or anything like that. That's not at all, you know, at first glance, that's what you think. But that's not all what Jesus is saying here. When you take a deeper look into this, you can see three potential disciples, just like us, who rationalize behavior, justify, defend their choices. Yes, I'll do that, but I got to do this. Yes, I'll follow you anywhere, Jesus. Ooh, but, oh, that's rough. Sometimes we use these excuses to sidestep our responsibilities when it comes to following Jesus and doing what God asks us to do. Jesus calls to let go of our comforts if we need to. If he calls us to do that, we have to understand that that is what discipleship is about. He calls us to properly prioritize Jesus at the top of the list, even before your family. And he also asks us to not allow other people to influence us. No excuses from other people and the influence they have on our life. What excuses do you make in not fully living for Jesus? What does your excuse tell you about your heart? And your heart, your true heart's desire, does that need to change? Because that's, watch behaviors and you can see hearts, right? Being a Christian requires denying to self, serving and forgiving others, enduring ridicule if it comes our way, suffering persecution if it comes our way in whatever way, all because we understand the eternal benefits of following Jesus, right? The key is remembering the big picture here of following Jesus, keeping our eyes all on God and focus straight ahead as we plow through life, if you will. My prayer today, after studying these verses this week, is that we are a church of disciples of Jesus that make no excuses when it comes to serving him. None whatsoever. We're influenced by Jesus. We put Jesus at the top of the list, and we're willing to sacrifice our comforts for him. How awesome would that be? And that is what this world needs to see, isn't it? It really, really, really is. So consider your lives this week, please, in prayer. And what excuses you make and what little change you need to make. I'm not asking you to make a humongous one. There is Jesus. Just a little change in your life to get rid of some excuses and live your life fully and be a full disciple of Jesus.